this was unexpected. What? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And now my mind is running at 100 miles per hour thinking qualifying tournament is going to be a little bit difficult. Whatever, I'll get to that. Meanwhile, I was in Dubai. Yuki was making history in the European Championship, getting bronze medal for his country. Big deal. Again, I'm here like, this kid is getting momentum.
Yeah.
He's doing well. I need to keep pushing, you know, because it's a big deal. No problem. I keep training. We keep going. Qualifying tournament. I was not nervous. I went into the qualifying tournament with the most confidence in the world. Confidence in myself. Confidence in the sense of like, if I can do what I know I can do, what my sensei knows I can do, what my coaches know I can do, what the world has seen me do, I can win. And I remember I had a conversation with the team, because we know we have meetings with the US team, and I was like, how do you guys feel for the training? And I said, I'm 95% certain I'll get gold and I'll qualify. And they're like, really? I was like, yeah. I know I'm crazy for saying that, but I know my capabilities and I know what I can do. If I can't do it, okay. So I go to the tournament and I control everything that I can control. I brought my own food. I brought my own water. I brought my own everything. I cooked in my room because we were supposed to be closed. It was supposed to be closed off, but it wasn't. But I brought everything just in case. I cooked eggs in my room. I had cereal from home. I had everything I needed. I had my lucky underwear. It was the perfect scenario for a perfect competition. I go round one. No big deal. I have Indonesia. Ziggy from Indonesia. Big guy. Strong guy. World champion 2015. Beat me in the World Beach Games. Big deal. I do Kurunfa. I win. But I didn't win. I won by 4 points. Go to round two. I have Yuki Ujihara there. I do Ohandai. I win. Again, but not by 4 points, but over half a point. I'll go round three against Yuki. Gita Wang. Man, I'm telling you, this is big. Roman from Azerbaijan. Amadi from Kazakhstan. We have good people. I do Anandai and I beat everybody by over a point. And I qualify to the finals. Now Yuki needs to compete against for bronze medal for making it. He did it. But you know, every performance I was there, I was not competing against anyone. This is something that was super important. I was making sure that I did my warm-up the way I wanted to. I was making sure I was doing my kihun the way I had written down. I was jumping rope. I told Mantillo, give me a 15-minute mark, 15-minute mark, give me a 30-minute mark, give me a 45-minute mark, because my warm-up is a little different, you know, a little adjustment. He's like, 15 minutes. I was like, okay, you're at 30. Okay, 45. We're out in 15 minutes. Okay, so I was 15 minutes before we're supposed to go out, I was already putting on my gi, but I was drenched. Kihun was done, everything was done, gi was on. I have my way of preparing, and it was perfect. I go in there, I perform well, we finish, we go to the round robin. 4 hours later, though, this is the problem. Usually it's the next day. 4 hours later, three more katas. Basically, back to back to back. One of them was back to back, literally. I go in there, I just have to win one round. And I know I just have to win one round. I go in there and I had a strategy. And I said, Heejun Park from Korea, and the other side scored a 27. I had scored a 25 in my pool. And now that is mentally a huge threat, you know, and it's kind of like, what's going on there? Why was he really that good? Because I didn't see him, but he was really that good. 27? I've never even scored a 27, and I'm like, wow, it's a big deal. But no problem, I go against him in the finals, and I already had a plan. I'm like, I'm going to leave my Anan for him, because my Anan always performs the best when it's last that day. If I have to do Anan tomorrow, it won't do well, because it'll be my first kata. But if I have to do Anan today, and it's my last kata today, it'll do very well, because my body's at the exact. I learned about my body. I know what my body needs to do. So I go there. I win my round one against Iran by over a full point. I go round two. I get a little break. Then it was my round two and my round three back to back against Heejun and Wang Ita. I do my Anandai, and when I beat Wang Ita from Taipei, I was like, I did it. I won. I made it to Olympics. Now I'm super happy. I'm super excited. There's no time. I have to change my gi, and I have to compete for against Heejun. And I felt so good. I said, I know I'm going to win this. I just have to perform the way I've been performing the whole day. And without a doubt, I won. I scored a really high score. I won. I qualified to the Olympics, and I was happy. Nothing changed. What do I mean by nothing changed? It's like, nothing changed. I have to do the same thing again in the Olympics. Program my training, I have to do my warm-ups, I have to do my strengthening, I have to write down, I have to analyze, I have to study, I have to talk to my sensei. There's no game plan. The game plan is win, you know? How do I win? Do the same thing I've been doing the whole year.
It's been working. So you didn't make, between Paris and Tokyo, you just kept doing the exact same thing that you were doing.
The exact same thing, the exact same warm-up. I didn't change anything. I went to the dojo from the same time to the same time. I didn't train a minute more. I didn't train a minute less. I didn't eat more than I was supposed to. I didn't do anything more. It was the exact same routine, the exact same massage, the exact same extra work that I was doing outside of work of karate, where there was Pilates. I didn't do a minute more. It was exactly the same thing. And some things people think is sometimes, oh, I need to train harder. Yes, you need to train harder if you're not training hard enough or you haven't been training hard. But just because I qualified to the Olympics doesn't mean I need to train harder. No, I'm going to train what got me here. The same exact way, no more, no less. Just smart. And I did. And I'll let you ask any question after that because that's it. I qualified to the Olympics.
All right. So I want to let's talk about the Olympics. But then after we talk about the Olympics, because we also had PKF. I mean, you've had the most amazing year. You had, you know, your first two Premier League medals, right? And then boom, right to the Olympics, and then right to PKF again immediately after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to talk about the Olympics, but then I want to circle back around some of your thoughts on your training specifically. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't mind, I mean, now this is kind of like just we have to have like the fanboy moment. I mean, the Tokyo Olympics, mm-hmm. I mean, we're, you know, postponed. So just, you know, what was that like? I mean, I know you said your training was the same, that you did the same things, but there you're in Tokyo and you step out on that mat with the Olympic rings,
mm-hmm.
you know, tell us about that.
So Tokyo is my favorite place to visit in the world. I love Tokyo and I love Okinawa. You know, I love Japan in general. I love Okinawa. I love Japan. I love Tokyo. I love everything Japan culture.
Me too.
I am in love with it. Wow. Right. Let's just start there. From the 7-Elevens to the supermarkets, the stores to everything in Japan, to the karate, everything. I love it. You know, if I could live in Japan, I would live in Japan for just the experience of just being there. I would love that. So it was a little different because obviously I wasn't in the village for as long as we could have been or we should have been. We were sent to a host city in Koga. Beautiful people, amazing place. They treated us extremely well. The hospitality was wow, you know. So we had a training camp in Koga City. We had gym, we had huge, everyone had their own tatami. Sakura Kokumai had her own tatami. I had my own tatami, our own rooms. We were all separated because I like to be alone when I train. I don't like anyone there bothering me or anyone talking. I just need to focus on my craft. I don't want no one. And the fact that they gave us what we needed, whenever we needed, was great. Because when you become an Olympic athlete, you have to be selfish. You have to really focus on me. What is going to bother me and what is going to make me better? And what was going to make me better was being alone. I don't want no one to talk to me, no one bother me, you know. And Mantilla kind of was like my, like a bodyguard per se. It's like, no one talk to Ariel from this time to this time. No one do this, you know. Ariel this, Ariel that, Ariel needs this, you know. It was kind of like, it's this mentality of focus, right? Japan was beautiful. The city was great. I ate. Oh, the food was amazing. They took us to this restaurant where the chef cooked for us personal meals. And I love ramen. Every day I ate ramen and fried rice. It was the best food ever. It was wow. It was really good. I enjoyed it. And every night we go back to our hotel at night, 9 p.m. We would wake up in the morning very early at 8 a.m. eat. And then we would spend the whole time at the training center, the whole day. So I would train and I would just stay in the dojo. We had like 3 training sessions a day. I only did one because I only need one. Again, I'm not going to change my training from home because we're at the Olympics. Why would I train 3 times? For me, that didn't make sense. For other people, it makes sense because that's what they do. I don't do that. I just train one time, a long period of time, and I'm done. And it was the same thing. They got me a wireless hotspot for Wi-Fi so that I can FaceTime my sensei. We trained through FaceTime. Mantilla was there on the side helping out again, collaborate with Sensei Young. This is what the judges want to see. This is what they want, Sensei Young technique. So training in Koga City was perfect. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Fast forward, it was like 4 days training there. I felt perfect. I'm ready to go to the Olympics. I'm ready to go to the village. I go to the village. Wow. Just walking down the street, you see all these Olympic athletes walking from, you see the basketball players, the famous basketball players that are walking by you from different countries. You're like, oh my God, oh my God. You see like the gymnastics people and you're like, oh, what is going on? You know, you're a fanboy. Yeah, I was a big fanboy. I'm looking here like, keep your cool, man. I get to my room and there it is, all your US Olympic clothes, all the clothes that have to be, I was buying for years. All there, perfect size. More than I could, I haven't even worn all of it yet. It's still like hung there. Sometimes I can wear it, you know, and it's just there. I didn't have to buy it. And that, for me, that was one of the best parts for the Olympics, the clothes, because you really don't get that stuff, you know? And it's very special. Like, it's just, it says 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. That was awesome. And then I was able to find my teammate, Grace. You know, I've been training with her for the Olympics, so I was able to be with her the whole time. We were able to experience the whole Olympic thing together. I got a haircut there. It was awesome. Everything is at your disposal. You know, you have the Tokyo 2020 shop. So it was a different experience. And all the athletes usually were super competitive, super focused. But everyone was just grateful to be there, to be at the Olympics. I was grateful to be there, but I was constantly competing in my head against myself. Like, we're going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to get a medal. I know I will get a medal. And I remember that we had interviews that week the whole time. And I was always saying, I'm going to bring my country back a medal. I'm going to, you know, I feel like I kind of spoke it into reality. But I did the training and I did the preparation to be able to do that in a way. I think that mentality, like I said, is super important.
Well, let me interrupt real quick, just briefly there, because that's the topic that I speak with a lot of my athletes about specifically is you have to believe that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to, obviously the training is important and you have to have the training to back that up.
Yeah.
But if you don't visualize it and you don't see it beforehand, it's probably not going to happen. It's almost like you said that sometimes you have to speak it into existence because it's that process in your brain and in your mind that's working that marries your training and your previous experience with reality.
Yes.
But if you don't do that step like you talked about, if you don't have that fundamental, like ironclad belief that you're going to achieve that, then it's just like almost like it's up to chance.
Mm-hmm. You know. Exactly. That's something super important because people are like, how can you be so sure? And I was like, because I trained for it and I trained better than a lot of people and I have the skills, you know, like I've proven it. These are statistics and these are the facts. And I'm a facts person. Look what I've done this year compared to my competitors. Right? When you look at this, it's very clear what the medal, who the medalists are going to be. And I am a fused person of, like I said, statistics. So I'm like, I know I'm going to medal because I'm going by these statistics. I have the skills for it and it's going to happen. And the whole time I'm at the Olympics, I'm enjoying myself, but I'm constantly running here. Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What's going to happen? And I watched the draws live. I was watching the draws live and I said, perfect. That's what I want. I had Quintero on my side. I had Iuja. I had Heejun. I had Kuwait, and I remember, I think that was it, yeah, I had five people. And I had my strategy. I said, I know Quintero is going to do Kurunfa, I know he's going to do Ohandai, I know he's going to do Anandai. I know I can make it in there. I don't have to play it safe. I don't have to save my best kata for medal match, because my goal was to make it to finals, and my goal was then to win. So I had to come up with this like incredible story in my head where I won the Olympics. Unfortunately, spoiler alert, it didn't happen, right? But I had this thing that...
Well,
okay, go.
No, because that's exactly... So, Akira, Coach Akira, told me at a coach's class or a coach's seminar about Kayla Harrison, who is... I don't know if he's talked to you about this, but she was the first U.S. judo gold medalist. And she has that exact... thing. She did win the gold medal at the Olympics, I believe it was 2012, but she has a process like that, just like you described, to where she runs through her day where she wins each match and to where she ends her day standing on the podium with the gold
medal.
That's
exactly what I was doing. and I said, the way that I can beat Quintero is by matching him kata by kata. This was my way. And I didn't compare myself to anyone. I just said, I'm going to, because everyone knows that in that side is going to be Quintero in the finals, and this side is going to be Kuna. That's what's going to happen. Everyone knows that. Something unexpected happens, great. And I expected the unexpected to be that I make it to the finals and I win the whole thing. Why? If I can do my Kurunf, I can do my Ohandai, and I can do my Anandai, I felt like I can do the best performances ever. Maybe I can leave some doubt. And in that doubt, some uncertainty, something else will seep in through. And maybe they'll just roll their finger a little bit more on mine and give me a higher score. And then that momentum into the final will cause an uproar. Everyone's like, did you guys see this just happened? The youngster, blah, 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 blah. And this is going through my head. This was before game day. This was going to happen. And he made it to the final against Kuna. Kuna's in the finals. He expects to win, obviously. But I'm here in the finals. I expect to win too. The judges are like, do we want to change? Do we want to make history? Because winning here is not going to make, if he wins, it's not going to make history. This is normal. But if this can change the way the whole world for karate walks, the way everything's going to move on from now on. If I win the Olympics, it's going to be completely different, you know, for everybody, for all athletes. All athletes around the world are going to have something that they didn't have before. They're going to have hope. Hope that you can win. Hope that anything is possible. Because when I made it to the Olympics, so many people told me, man, you gave me hope because you were here and now you're an Olympic bronze medalist, example, or you've made it to the Olympics. And I'm like, I can give the whole world hope if I win this Olympics. I can give everybody that is at any level, at any moment of their life, they can do the same thing. They just have to make the sacrifices and go there. And that was my mentality. And I'm going to win the Olympics. Watch. I wake up the next day. I felt good. My Kurunfa. I noticed my score with Quintero was really close. I was like, okay. I saw some judges give it to me. I'm like, okay, we're good. Ohandai, I fought a little bit. I didn't feel good enough to beat him there. Like, oh, okay, he beat me. It was by a lot more. Semifinals. I go, okay, we're going to do the best Anandai of my life, and I'm going to win. And I finish my Anandai. I bow, and I'm like, I won. I'm going to the finals. He does his Anandai. I see a score. I'm like, oh. I was upset. Upset? Not at him. Not at the judges. I myself, that I couldn't do, that I wasn't good at.
So, your Anandai was better.
I mean,
I've watched it over and over again. I watched it multiple times. Watched both of them. Absolutely.
You know, he has some things that I really like. And again, it's like food. I always say it's like food. They like that meal better, and I can't tell them that it tasted better. It tasted better for them. Whatever it was, I was upset at myself because I felt like that was my best, and I still lost. And I was like, I feel so, at that moment, I felt so worthless. Like, you know, sometimes you don't give your best and you win. Sometimes you give your best and you win. But sometimes you give your best and you lose still. And I felt like that was the best I've ever done a kata in my life. And I'm like, and I lost. And I was like, in the Olympics, where I think that anything was possible, the one day I needed to make an upset, the one day that an upset can happen, because it's the Olympics, is the most important world day in the competition in the world for karate, this is when it can happen. This is the moment. And I, with all of these odds stacked for me in my head, I believe that this was for me. I still lost, and I was like, I'm so disappointed in myself that I wasn't good enough. And I was mad at myself that whole day, because I was like, I can't believe that everything didn't get me to the final.
So how did you then go? What did you do? Because you had to turn around just a very short time later. I mean, it was the same day, and compete against, you know, in the rematch, right?
I took
Torres versus Diaz,
which was a big deal, right? I didn't even know who I was going against to bronze medal match until I got to my room. I took the bus ride home, the bus to go to the back to the village, and I said, this is the only time I'm going to give myself to be upset. And I let it all out in my head. And I'm like, in a way, I'm talking to myself, like vocally, not in my head. I'm speaking to myself. I'm in the back of the bus. I'm alone. And I'm speaking to myself. And I'm like, I could have done this. I could have done that. All the regret I had that I wish that day, an extra 10 minutes, an extra something, you know, I wish I could have done this. My maigeri, my consenso geri wasn't deep enough. Why did I get tired? What could I have done? You know what? This is never going to happen again. Okay, we're done. We're here. All right, now I'm walking to my room, and now we're like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to win this bronze medal match. It's not going to be, it's not impossible. If anything, it'll be difficult, because now Antonio made it to a position that he hasn't been to in a long time. The medal match, he hasn't been there in a while. He has this momentum coming. In my head, I felt like I lost my momentum because I thought I was going there and they stopped me. He did his best katas, going there and he's making. So I felt like this was the momentum. And momentum is a big thing in karate. It's like a game of chess. Momentum is important. And I feel like his momentum was up. And then this is why I said, that's perfect. Because this is when I'll take the momentum and I'll pass. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to step on the tatami. I'm going to own the tatami. He's going to feel more pressure than I am because he hasn't been here. I did this. I got the Paris qualifying gold. This is what's happening. My Anand will be good enough. And I remember briefly, the first time I encountered Antonio was Anand versus Chatanyara. And I lost 5-0. Anand versus, and I said, this is the last time I'm going to encounter him because this is, he said publicly, he's retiring. And this is going to be our last match and I'm going to win this match, Anand versus Chatanyara. And I just kept telling me, I'm going to win. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk on that mat. The floor is going to feed me and I'm going to feed the judges. I'm going to get this energy and I'm going to send it towards them. Every palm strike, everything I'm doing, it's going to go towards them. They're going to see it. They're going to feel it. They're going to lose themselves in my performance. And they're going to want me to win more than I want to win myself. So I feel like I was able, once I stepped on that mat, it was like I won. Now it's just a matter of if you guys want to believe it or not. And I remember that I'm bowing. My eyes were glaring. I'm looking straight ahead. No blink. Feel. Everything's happening. I'm fighting. It was kind of like a different aerial was able to come out. Mantilla likes to call him like bull, Torito. Yeah, because it's like my the Chinese zodiac sign is the bull.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. And funnily enough, this year in the Chinese zodiac is the year of the bull.
It is.
And that
it
is my. Is. So then I didn't know that, but walk, you know, I did going into Olympics. I kind of had, I was like, oh, it's my year. It's the year of the bull, and I'm the bull. This is, all right, we're good. We're good. My nickname is the bull. I have a bull inside me. We're the bull. This is the year of the bull. We're good. You know, so I feel like I had, again, I feel like I had everything stacked for me. For me. Everything is set up for me. This is for me. I just have to do my job. Doing my kata, I'm doing palm strike after palm strike. My giddies are extended. My connection is good. I'm not leaving any room for failure. I feel like everything is good. I finished my kata. I'm bowing, and I was like, I did the best Anand I think I could have done in my life. And I think I convinced the judges. Boom, 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 boom. The judges walk in there. Before I knew it, I saw the hand raised up, and I'm like, it was like I dropped like 30 pounds instantly. It was like, boom. And I was like, I had dreamed of that medal since the moment it came out. I had it on my phone, on my wallpaper, and I always saw it. Whether I lost, I always saw it, and I dreamt with it. And now I have it. It's right. I'll show you real quick. And now I have it. Wait, let me see. There.
Oh, man, that's so awesome. Yep, that's perfect.
Look, and in the bottom, it says the division, which karate men's kata.
Karate men's kata.
Yeah, so, and it's really heavy. I wish you could feel it.
Next time. Yeah, I'll come visit and you can show me.
This is probably, you know, a medal is just a medal, right? But man, this is not just a medal. This is so many sacrifices, you know? You know what I'm saying? Since it's like, so many experiences, so many years, so much heartbreak, so much stuff that had to be overcome for this, so much growth personally as a human, as a karateka, as I just, so much had to be done. And to me, this is not just a medal. How someone says it's just a medal. No, this was everything in my life, and I'm so proud of it. And the fact that I was able to do it, my family, I've never seen my mom so proud. I've never seen my dad so proud. My sister, that's a doctor discovering the cure for Alzheimer's. My sister is the biggest inspiration in the world, and she's done far greater. She is the person in charge of discovering the cure for Alzheimer's. She is the head. And for her to be proud of me for just something that can't compare to what she's doing, you know, for the world, and she's proud of me that I was able to do something so small compared to her, it's just so nice that I can make her proud, that I can make my mom, my dad proud, that I can make my sensei proud, that I can make so many people proud, so many people that feel inferior in life, in many aspects, whether it's karate, whether it's economically, you know, like people don't have money to do this because I didn't have the money to do it. And thankfully I was able to get in the rankings to get funded to do this. And, you know, being a poor family like we are, I was able to do this. You know, I was able to live the American dream. I was able to represent my country at the highest level possible. And I was able to bring my country back the only medal in the history of karate. So that to me means the American dream. It means that anything is possible, that no matter what, it's possible. You just have to get rid of that self-doubt that we all have inside of us, that it always comes back. And if you really believe and you really keep fighting for it, and you honestly, truly try to better yourself as a person and treat others the way people deserve to be treated, you know, in a, just a positive way. If you just live a positive life in every way possible, don't talk ill about anyone, just be a good person, I feel like you can do so much better in everything, in your career, in karate, in anything. And that's what this medal taught me, and that's what this medal means to me. And I hope that many people can understand that it's just not a medal. This is like hope for everyone in this country, at least, that your dreams are possible. You just have to fight for it.
Where do we go from there?
I wasn't expecting to say any of that, but
that was awesome. Because, you know, I was fortunate enough to, I watched it. I was watching it all live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to see not just what you just said, because all of that is 100% spot on. You know, and I like, I can appreciate what you said about, because it was a sacrifice of, you know, because I see your stories and I've seen other interviews and I've seen you talk about your family experiences and stuff and coming to the United States and the difficulties that you had. But, you know, it, what I really appreciate and what I feel thankful for is how you express that appreciation for everybody else's sacrifice as well. Because you're the one that goes out there and you're and do it, you know, but as, you know, as I think you've said in your Instagram and stuff, it's like a tribe, it's a family, it's like,
yes,
everybody is there. It's a process to help you do that. And without all of that other things, you wouldn't have been able to achieve that success.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, everything that you just said is something that we all, you know, should aspire to, whether it's in the competitive aspect or just our daily life and things like that. You know, because, you know, oftentimes, you know, it's that line between confidence and almost cockiness or arrogance.
Yes.
And it's so easy to go over onto that side. And
that's why you need a sensei.
Yes.
To blow up the ego when it gets too big, which I think all students are guilty of that, you know. You do well and you start doing well, and then you start to believe that you're good enough or you're better than you really are. And I'm guilty of that. If someone tells you they never thought of that, I don't know. But I know I was, and my sensei instantly will blow me up back down and be like, no, you know. And I feel like that, those humbling experiences with my sensei Robert Young helped me become who I am, you know. Reminded me of where I came from with my family, especially my dad. There was one time I didn't have an argument, but I didn't agree with something sensei said, and I thought I knew better. And I remember my dad sat me down and he told me, what Sensei Young is doing for us, no other person in the world would do. Sensei Young let me train for free in his dojo because we couldn't afford it, because we didn't have the money to do anything. And Sensei Young let me train with him for free. So the fact that I didn't agree with something that he said, because I think that's a big slap to him in the face. He's teaching you for free. What he says to you, it has to be right 100% of the time. And when my dad told me that, it made me feel terrible, because it was like, I felt like a terrible person, because the way he put it out there for me was, dude, you're a bad kid right now. You aren't appreciating what other people don't have. You have this opportunity to learn from someone like him that trained Antonio Diaz, that did this, that did that, that helped this community grow as in a positive way. And you're just slapping him in the face. And I was like, I didn't see it like that. That was a learning experience. And, you know, I went back to dojo since it blew up the ego when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. He does it all the time. Whether I think I have one or not, or whether I feel humble and he thinks I'm not, he'll blow it up and he'll do it all the time, whether it's true or not. But the fact that I have my sensei by my side, and he's honestly able to guide me in life, not only in karate, but in so many things, is something I'm very grateful for, because sensei taught me how to be a better member contributing to society. He just wants me to be a better person. That's something he wants me to always be. He's like, be honest, don't lie. Don't be a terrible person to people. Don't treat people bad. You know, just be a good guy, man. Accept, be grateful. Give thanks to the people that help you, whether it's a supporting word, whether it's energy, anything. Just be grateful for having this that other people don't have, that you didn't have before. If you have a lot of it now, be grateful, because 2 years ago you didn't have anything. And now you have all of this, appreciate it. And like I said, if it wasn't for my sensei, my family, my sensei, what he's done is a lot. I would not have been able to get this medal without him, because the sacrifices he had to make for me with his family. His mom passed away and he was training me the next day because we had to go to the Olympics and we had to get a medal. You know, that dream that he had, he never stopped, and he still doesn't stop, because we still have more plans, more things that we have to do, and he's still pushing regardless of all the things in life. And I want to be a good, as I always tell him, sensei, like, man, I want to be a better sensei than you, but I don't think it's going to happen, because I want to be a sensei like that, someone that can influence someone's life in the most incredible way, and it can flourish into a beautiful thing, whether it's karate or becoming a lawyer or a doctor, anything, just a better person. I want to do that. So yeah, Sensei Young is awesome.
Wow, that's a great tribute to your sensei, and you know, it's I can see how influential or how much of an impact that he's had on you. So we've been going here for just a little bit, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time.
It's a good interview.
I wanna ask. I'm gonna kind of skip over a couple of things, and maybe we could have a chat about some more technical details later, maybe a different day or something like that. But just three short things, real quick. First, where do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years? What are you going to be doing, as far as, is it going to be karate, or are you going to keep competing, or where do you see yourself going from here?
I'll tell you now. I see myself becoming the Olympic champion in 2028. That's what I see. I see myself as the Olympic champion in 2028, and that's all I see right now. If it happens, okay, and if it doesn't happen, you know, that's not a question. It's going to happen, and I'm going to be the champion. That's where I see myself right now. In 2028, I have to do everything I can to make it become a reality. It's a community thing, but I feel like if it happens, it'll give the community of karate so much hope. All the young kids would train for it, and I'm telling you, the young kids are hard. These kids are tough. These kids are getting so good, so fast, so quick. And guess what? That's just gonna make me better, because I'm gonna have to push ahead. I have to keep going so that they can catch up. And you know, that's the goal. So I see myself, like I said, in the Olympics 2028 in LA, and winning the whole thing. That's what I see. If it happens, you heard it first.
Awesome. If it happens, you heard it first. Like everybody else, I hope that it happens. So, all right. What has been the most challenging thing for you as a karate athlete?
I think there's two things. The first part was the money. We're not a wealthy family. My sister just became a doctor, but before this stuff, we didn't have money. It's very difficult to travel. So I had to teach a lot, go around the country, win NASCAR events to get money, to then travel, to then use it. So I feel like the money part was hard, but I never let it be an excuse. I didn't say, I can't go to this event because I don't have the money. No, I trained hard so that I can go to these events, so that I can feed everybody, so that I can get the money, so that I can travel. And that's what I did. I trained enough so that I can be everybody in these events. I can make the money. I can travel back, and then I can use that money to travel again. So I think money is not an excuse. I think you can find a way. I ended up picking up money in the streets in my community. And it was a little bit embarrassing at first, because, you know, who wants to be seen picking up money in the street? And I didn't care, because I had a dream and I wanted to go to the Olympics. And it started with the next event. It was always the next event. What's the next event? This is what you gotta do. I gotta make the money and I gotta train hard. So money was always a big issue. And that was easy, because I picked up money in the street, I won the money, and then I got into the funding requirement for the country, which took a lot of money at first, but then it's okay. The second thing I believe is the hardest is the mentality, the self-doubt, the thing you have to overcome. And you only get that with experience, you know? and really trying to be positive. Change everything that happens in life into a positive. Whether it, the moment you're complaining about something, you're taking a step back. And the more you're complaining, the more steps back you're taking, buddy. So just change whatever happened into the most positive thing ever, or just let it go and forget about it. If you can't turn it into a positive, forget about it. But I think that you can turn everything into a positive. Somehow you can. It'll be something stupid, but you can. You missed a training. If I missed a training for some reason, that because I had to miss it because something happened, it was like, well, God wanted that to happen because in today's training, I was going to probably slip, hurt my ankle, and I wouldn't be able to train for 3 weeks. So thank you, God, for allowing me to miss this training, because I really believe if I would have gone then, I would have gotten hurt. So I believe everything happens for a reason. No matter what happens, even if I get injured, I believe it could have been worse or something. I always believe so everything happens for a reason. And I turned all those negatives into a positive.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And I think that this is probably going to tie in with my last question for you. But what advice would you give to an aspiring young person or an athlete who wants to do what you've done, to rise up and become a national team member and to compete internationally and to win internationally? What would your advice be to them?
So I can give them like two or three things. I think one is be organized, be a champion. And a champion is not sloppy. A champion is not a mess. A champion is an organized person. A champion is someone that has routine. A champion is someone that has things set up properly. You have a routine, you're a champion. If you can have a routine, that's step one to being a champion. Have everything done. What time are you eating? How are you doing it? Are you sleeping enough? Have something concrete. Your life cannot be a mess if you want to be a champion. You can't be a champion being a mess. You can't be anything great in anything in life if you're a mess. You have to get organized. And organized means, yes, you have to make your bed, you have to do stuff, you have to be organized, you have to be clean. That is super important in it to be successful in anything. Write down things. That's another part to be organized. So that's what I say is the first thing. The second thing I suggest to many of my students is go out there and compete. Go to these international events and get experience. What do I mean by experience? I'm not expecting you to win. I'm not expecting you to beat people. I'm expecting you to go to that competition, do your kata, and tell me what you learned. Not what you learned in your kata. What did you learn in that experience? Were you dehydrated? Did you find water? Were you nervous? Were you thinking of, what were you thinking about? What did you learn? And the more you compete, the more experience you gain. The more experience you gain, the more this experience you use to surpass your opponents. If I have 28 experiences under my belt and you have two, I'm probably going to do better than you because I have experience. And that's something Antonio had over everyone else was he had the most experience out of everybody. And I'm telling you, experience is such a useful tool to be a champion. And then the other one is, man, just turn all these negative things into a positive, and you'll notice how far you get in life, whether it's school, life, relationship, karate. Just turn things into positive. Let things go. If they bother you, let them go, because holding on to things will just drag you back. So let go, move forward, change everything into a positive, and I think life as a whole will get better. But as an athlete, I can assure you it'll be great.
Well, that's excellent. So thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you for your words. And again, as we're just so proud of everything that you've accomplished, you know, and to represent yourself, to represent your family and your dojo as well as the United States. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Cynthia, for having me. I had a great time. It was such a fun chat. It's been a while that I've been able to talk openly with someone like this, and I really appreciate your questions, your time, and thank you so much. And I hope anyone that's listening to this, I hope you guys can chase whatever dream you have. And if it's karate, just keep training, train hard. Remember, turn all those negative things into positives, and slowly but surely, one step at a time, everything will fall into the right place.
All right, well, you heard it from Ariel directly, so now go get to work, and we'll see you out there.